Hi, Saints. We'd like to continue. Can everybody hear me? No? Hello? It should be working now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'd like to continue our fellowship on the lessons of prayer. And the last hymn that we sang this morning, 1081, it says that's because we have the Father, Son, so that brought us into oneness.
Amen.
This oneness is the critical basis of our prayer. Amen. Our prayer before the Lord should be one with Christ.
Amen.
So that it will reach the Father and the Father will accept our prayer. If anything that is up to us from our natural man, then our prayer will not be acceptable to God. So in this, I'm giving a introduction to chapters 13 and 14 for this week. And it talks about the cross and the prayer and life and prayer. So this is where the life comes in. Every time in trying to prepare for this message, I really come trembling before the Lord because I felt that I cannot meet up to the standard. My religious concept on what prayer is just hinders my growth in life. Because I thought that, you know, all this time our prayer is like we ask things from the Lord, we utter some kind of praises, but all we do is just telling the Lord something and then we don't stay with Him. We depart and we let, you know, we do our own stuff. That's not prayer before the Lord, you know. So in this chapter, when it talks about the cross, we have to go back to the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 16 and in Exodus. We see there how Jehovah instructed Moses and Aaron who represented the priesthood, on how to offer sacrifices, how to use the blood, how to sprinkle the blood, the incense, the censer, the fire, the most primary thing, the fire, and all of that. And to me, in the past, it always seems like that kind of the picture, the types in the Old Testament doesn't seem to apply to me because it's like a ritual, an offering of sacrifices, like you watch on TVs or movies, you know, all kinds of those kind of things. And, you know, worshiping a God, right? But then we have to come back to Revelation in order to see the significance of all these types in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when it comes to sacrifices, it always talks about the blood, the altar, the fire, the censer, and the sweet incense. This all relates to the prayer that we offer to God.
Amen.
Because the prayer that we offer to God should be acceptable to Him. Should be as a sweet fragrance ascending to God.
Amen.
And then also, when the priest put the offering on the altar, after it's all prepared, God sends the fire and consume the offering, right? It is not doing a barbecue. We don't start the fire. Nothing from us comes from doing a sacrifice. So when God accepts the sacrifice, He sends down the fire. And then in Revelation, let me read Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 5. It says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, that he should add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were thunders and voices and lightnings and an earthquake." So who is the another angel here? The another angel refers to the Lord Jesus. So again, in these two verses, we see that there is the mention of the censer, the incense, and now it's, you know, specifically said the prayers of the saints. So all these sacrifices and, you know, that we were talking about really refers to our prayer. And the prayer should only come from the Lord.
Amen.
And the prayer should come only from our being one with the Lord. The blood, we all know that the blood is sprinkled around the altar, and the fire comes down, and it becomes a sweet fragrance that ascends to God as a sweet savor. So, and then when we apply Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it says here, and he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So here it's very specific already that the golden bowls full of incense are really only for prayers. And the golden bowls are the prayers of the saints. The incense is Christ added to saints' prayer. Therefore, the golden bowls here refer to the prayers of the saints. So I'm really happy that, with the ministry, these verses are made very, very clear to us. Because through this, we realize that prayer is not something that we write like a composition. We invent something. Or, I used to really like some of our brothers here when they pray. They can really utter good prayers, right? I really enjoy like Ron Kangas. When he prays, he can pray 15 minutes, half an hour, straight, nonstop, no pause, no nothing. I long for that kind of prayer. But we need to realize that for him to be able to do that kind of a prayer, utter that kind of a prayer, there is a lot of constitution behind. There is a lot of learning behind so that he would be able to utter that kind of prayer. And praise saints, we need to come forward before the Lord and learn from each other on how to pray. And then, we have to see that there are two aspects on prayer. The first aspect has to do with the blood, right? And this blood refers to redemption, to our regeneration. Christ has already accomplished so much his salvation so that we can come boldly before him. And the minute that we are regenerated, we have that desire to pray. But then we don't know how to pray. I still remember my first prayer is, I think I made a fool of myself because I don't know what I'm saying. But the Lord remembers my prayer. My prayer was about accepting him as my Lord. Because I grew up in the Christian family. All my, relatives are Christians. And so I don't really know, if I'm truly saved or not. Although I have officially accepted the Lord. I cried. I shed blood. But then in my prayer, I don't know what to say. So I remember I just blubbered something. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. But I know I love you. I know you are my God. So accept me. That's all I did, So when it comes to a gospel meeting, when people ask me to give my testimony, I was very hesitant to say anything. Because I wasn't saved. I wasn't a great sinner. I wasn't in prison or saved from hell or whatever to become a Christian. I'm just ordinary, right? Regular guy. So, but then, in reviewing all of this, I was so happy that, the Lord prepared everything so that we can become men of prayer. The cross, he died on the cross so that we, he can bear our sins. But the cross has so many, many, many purposes in our life. The cross also terminate our whole being, put our being into ashes. What does that mean? There is a passage here that is very, very, what do you say now? Very interesting, huh? He said, since we have become ashes that neither speak nor think, everything has been terminated. Amen. So we are terminated. So what more do we need to pray about? We're terminated. We're ashes. We're nothing. But ashes do not mean that everything has been terminated. Do not forget, however, that there is still the fire. The fire that burns the ashes is still there to burn the incense before God. This fire, when God came down and accepted the offering on the altar and the outer court, this fire was then brought in to burn the incense. So it is the same fire, and there should not be any natural fire created. So what is natural fire? Or in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it talks about the strange fire. And this is because we know the story of Nadab and Abihu, the children of Aaron, who offered strange fires. That means they created their own fire to burn the offerings. And God was so offended, they killed the two sons of Aaron. So in the same way, I mean, I don't think if we are learned in the learning process, we utter our prayers, that is out of ourselves, the Lord will strike us dead. I didn't mean that. But it means that in our prayer, we need to realize that if we utter the right prayer that is out from the Lord, then the Lord will accept our prayer. But if it is out of ourselves, then the Lord might not answer our prayer. You know, in recent years, especially during the pandemic, I've, you know, encountered a lot of situations, and it seems like I've reached the end of the road where I don't know how to turn anymore to the Lord. But, you know, but when I stop myself at that point, you know, it's so miraculous that the Lord immediately would come in and become my supply. And as I quiet myself, the Lord comes in and become, you know, himself, speaking himself softly into me. And even though the outcome is not what I expected, but eventually I realize the outcome is a much greater blessing than I had expected. So this has much to do with our prayer, that we have to remember that there is the blood and the fire. And then after the fire, after the termination, comes the resurrection. Because with the resurrection, then we know that, you know, everything that is terminated will enter into resurrection, and the prayers that we would offer to Christ would be in resurrection and will be accepted by him. And of course, in order to sustain this kind of a prayer, we need to realize that we need the supply from the Lord, the life supply, in order to support our whole being, to supply our spiritual growth. Without this life supply, there is no way that we can, you know, we can go on in our prayer before the Lord, or we can even advance in our prayer before the Lord. And, you know, the cross, we talked about the cross that we have to, you know, when we come before the Lord, we need to deal with our sins. This is part of the life supply. Then every time we confess our sins and deal with our sins, the life supply will come in. The Lord will come in. The Lord can restore our prayer right away. And, you know, Daniel is the best example. His prayer always starts out with his confessions of sins, confessions of the, you know, the sins of the people of Israel. And then after that, he never prays for himself. He wants to go back to Israel, right? But God never brought him back. Others did, but God never brought Daniel back to Israel to restore the nation. And instead, the Lord heard his prayer through other generations to accomplish his will. So praise the Lord that through this, we can truly see that if we continually, you know, live in the presence of the Lord, enjoy the Lord in our time before the Lord, enjoy his word, enjoy the ministry, we find all of this, God's life in his word and his ministry. And this will become our life, and it would strengthen our prayer before the Lord. Amen. And then towards the end, he says, to learn the lessons of prayer, one needs the lessons of life. Learn to have dealings and adjustments in the matters of life, and also to learn to live in life and take the burden of life. Life, only when we experience life, when we truly spend ourselves in gaining more of Christ as our life, can we advance in our spiritual life and advance in our prayer life. Amen. Amen.